You had to have loved, though, and maybe you heard this before, Bernsey, I don't know, the Mike Brown impersonation.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Was just,
it was great.
It was Michael Jackson, basically.
We used to hear that voice across the practice field.
Like, I didn't realize he had that high. I mean, I guess when he's animated.
Yeah,
right?
when he's yelling. Like, right. You have a regular conversation with him.
Yeah,
you don't hear
smooth,
that.
Smooth, actually.
Yeah, you don't hear that. But when he yelled, that's what you heard.
And can you imagine how, like, I mean, he's like, you see Brown. That's got to be kind of embarrassing to have. He kind of puts his head down, and he's got his wife sitting next to him. But then he steps it up a notch by saying, "This is the smartest player that I've ever."
It's not a high bar either, yeah. Dan, from Saturday night. But and maybe this sounds totally provincial meatball, but I did not hear a speech that I felt like accomplished as much as it wanted to accomplish as Brian Urlacher's did.
It is clear how it really means something to him. It's really deeply important to him, and that came through. And we've seen guys in various sports like, yeah, okay, let's do what I got to do here. Let's get to the party.
I thought the contrast between Urlacher and Ray Lewis's speech was pretty incredible.
We talk about two guys who played that position in a very impressive way,
and yet at the same time could not be more different in how they looked at themselves going into the Hall of Fame, because Ray Lewis looks at himself going into the Hall of Fame. And Brian Urlacher chose to talk about him and many other people that helped him get there, go into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, one is one and one is the other. And I'm not necessarily saying that you can't be a me first guy and go into that Hall of Fame, because I think we saw two other players that, you know, kind of view themselves that way. I mean, one guy didn't even celebrate at Canton. The other guy is Randy Moss. And even Randy Moss, who played the most me first position in the NFL, who admitted that I'm taking plays off, that I play when I want to. Even Randy Moss went out there during his enshrinement with other people's names that he took with him. Ray Lewis talked about himself.
That was powerful.
Byron Urlacher talked about other people that got him there. Randy Moss did the same thing. And I thought some of the stuff we saw during that celebration, during some of those speeches, some of it's performative. It always is. And that gets me. It's greasy to me.
You present yourself as you want yourself seen. It's almost like what social media does. But that is
more a mirror than actual.
Yeah, I believe Brian Urlacher when he says he wants to be remembered as a great teammate. Yeah, that the upshot of all of it is it was real. It was heartfelt. It's believable. I don't think he's making it up. I don't think that's an aw shucks kind of thing and humble bragging at all. I don't think he's really got that in him. You know, for me though, what I'm projecting, the roller coaster that the Brian Urlacher coverage experience was. Forget the fact that guy was a tremendous player. We knew at the moment we saw him and saw him running around like nobody that size had ever run around. It was the everything else. I mean, people forget there was that the whole story about the custody with his kid and going out to the Oasis because this woman, this extortionist who is extorting Michael Flatley, and then they're fighting for custody.
And suing.
And then
suing people, suing reporters, suing newspapers.
Did she file one or just threaten it?
That's a real thing. No, that was a real thing. But it's no longer a real thing.
I mean, there was that as part of it. There were his various spats with the media. I'm not talking, or I'm only going to give the one-syllable answers, the Jenny McCarthy stuff, the Paris Hilton chapter,
how do you feel at the end of the roller coaster ride?
I think he has grown up. I really do. He was a little overwhelmed by stardom, and he seemed to me to be an adult in ways that we really hadn't heard from him before. He's not the first, but it's kind of nice to see how he has emerged from a lot of that untidiness and craziness and whatever this whole process has been. I didn't know she sued you too.
Yeah.
That's great. You still have that lawsuit, do you?
Well, it's framed. It's not that far along.
Oh,
long ago.
January. You and you can use the same framing shop.
That's right. We can do that. No, yeah, we were named in the same suit together. Brian Urlacher and I will always have that lawsuit.
Wow. We'll always have the courtroom.
We'll always have the courtroom.
I want to ask you guys a Cubs question from yesterday's game specifically. Forget the Rizzo thing at the end, the bad call.
Angel Hernandez being Angel Hernandez.
I'm
surprised that guy made that call. Are you kidding?
Right. The Javier Baez on second base.
Oh, you were really bugged about this, Grody.
Yeah, well, no.
It's reckless and dumb.
It is.
The steal.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's gotten away with it in the past, right? And we've all celebrated him for it. So How do you handle Javier Baez in a situation like that?
How do you handle Javier Baez in a situation where maybe it's the eighth or ninth and you've got a, you're down one? How do you handle Javier Baez when you're in a situation that means more than just a game against the Padres in the regular
season?
Right,
because
I think you start asking those questions.
There comes that point where, as you get into the postseason and stuff like that, like, as heroic as he's been,
yes,
that's game-wrecking after a while.
Fair enough, but yeah. Okay. What I think, though, is that Javi be Javi has... You have to look at that as well.
When you have, I know it's a,
when
it's
you have a quarter, he's an MVP candidate.
It's a fine line.
Playing at an MVP level. When you have, say, an MVP quarterback, let's say Brett Favre in football, and he throws an interception that just is an awful throw. But you know what? The other 8 out of 10 times he makes that throw, it's a risk that nobody else would take, and it pays off.
Right.
That's Javi Baez on the bases.
So then how do you handle him after that game?
But that's on the throw. I think something we're forgetting here is this, or at least something that Christian Villanueva knew exactly where to hold that tag. Javier Baez has made a living out of swim moves on the other side of the bag, of going to his right-hand side, putting one down,
scouting
swimming
it.
The other. This is a game of adjustments.
That's a great call,
Connor. At every point and at every level, a team defensively adjusts to what a team is doing offensively. And at some point, Christian Villanueva, or God knows who at third base, Nolan Arenado, is going to hold that glove out there so that Javi just swims right into it when he comes off the bag. There's an adjustment back, but it's incredibly difficult to do. All stages of that play are remarkably difficult. And Javi continues to take bags off throws. That's great, and he's got a better chance than otherwise. But teams are starting to, and players are starting to realize that swag's coming down to third and figuring out how to change it.
The last thing you want to do is manage the magic out of him.
Right.
That's a good way to put
it.
No
doubt about it.
And it's a really good way to put it.
And I think that what we've seen in his plate discipline, he's a 300 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. He's a 300 hitter. And if we know in certain situations he can become more selective, he can manage his instincts. And I think knowing Joe, and we'll talk to him tomorrow about it,
mm-hmm.
but knowing Joe, there's a trust level there. And I think Javier Baez has taken steps this season to earn even more trust
Joe and knowing his faith in Javi to do the right thing almost every time or to trust his instincts, I don't think he probably said anything to him after that.
He might have given him a look like, yeah.
And he knows.
What'd you think?
I mean, he just, a day earlier, he was talking about how he can communicate with Javi on a level that nobody else communicates with Javi. So whatever that higher plane is, they better find it and say, Javi, next time you might want to be a little less reckless.
Well, what magnifies all of it is how meaningful he is. And the significance that he plays the role on this team this year. Bryant isn't swinging.
For 2 weeks?
He's not swinging.
That's like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Huge.
I mean, we talked to Bruce, and Bruce said, you know, September 1, maybe best case scenario for Darvish if everything goes well. If this guy's not swinging now, what's the target date for when he could come back? Because you don't just pick up a bat a week from Wednesday, and okay, I'm ready to go.
Not somebody who's as routine-oriented as he is. The Cubs are missing their best player.
Yes.
Plus the closer.
And usually you could say, oh, injuries aren't an excuse. You know what they are with the Cubs. When you are without, as you said correctly, Dan, Chris Bryant, no matter what, is your best player. And they've been without him virtually all year. I mean, I'm talking about the real Chris Bryant.
Right.
For the very beginning of the season.
Yeah, about 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, there was a little window where we had full-force Chris Bryant, but for the most part, you haven't had that. You don't have Yu Darvish. You don't have Brandon Morrow. So yes, you can look at the Cubs and say injury is an excuse, and you had to have somebody have a Javier Baez year this year, whether it was going to be Schwarber or Almora or Addison Russell. Somebody was going to have to do that, or else the Cubs are 2 or 3 games behind
Milwaukee
right now.
Doesn't it seem like he has been around forever? And yesterday was the anniversary, the fourth anniversary of Javi Baez's Major League debut. 4 years of Javi, that's it. And it seems like he's been here. We've been talking about him longer. Maybe that's why, because there were so many expectations. This is the first, not the first year, but this is the year he's really come into his own and fulfilled a lot of those grand expectations.
It doesn't feel like they're the best team in the National League.
It does not.
No. Does it?
There's 11 teams that are 500 or better right now in the NL. That's crazy.
They don't look like the Red Sox look right now.
No.
I mean, it's
even
just,
without Sale.
It's a different thing completely. You remember, I think with the Javi, too, I think with what plays into his, it feeling like he's been there forever. Remember what he looked like when he came out? I've got his game log from that. Remember, it was against the Rockies. He homered in his first game, but he was 1-for-6 with 3 strikeouts in that. And swung, I think, if I remember right, he swung at 3 fastballs that were quite literally over the helmet and a slider that was down and away. That was, The guy has...
Was that Renteria year? Was that the Renteria
out,
year?
2014? Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That was Ricky's year.
And he did go back down again.
Yeah, and he did go back down
again. I remember the Baseball Prospectus article just celebrating what Javier Baez's feet looked like after he concluded a swing.
He fell on his ankle.
With everything pointed in the wrong direction, his ankle rolled over. It was just this impossible permutation of limbs that only he could somehow manage.
But now we see a lot of players like that. Cody Bellinger came up, hit 39 homers his rookie year, 38, something like that. He rolls over on that front ankle, same way Javi does, just from the other side of the plate. But we've seen Javi, what, with a 300 average, with a 35-point, 38-point spread between average and on base. That's the best possible scenario for a guy who had that scouting report in, call it, 2014, the beginning of 2014.
And a legitimate 5-tool player. Like, we throw that terminology around a lot, like, oh, he's going to be a 5.
Right.
Like,
Baez is.
Well, he can do it all.
Well, now if he's hitting for it, because the 5 tools are hit for average, hit for power, run, throw, field.
Slide.
He's a 5-tool. Yeah.
Slide.
He's added a couple times.
6 tools. Tag.
Yeah. Who are the other 5-tool players in baseball?
He's 7-tool. Eloy Jimenez.
Slide and tech. Yeah. Eloy. Eloy. He'll be here this week, Bruce says. Who you guys got today?
We are going to talk to Sadhav Sharma. We're getting very athletic today because we're going to talk to Sadhav Sharma at 9:40. Kevin Fishbane is going to join us live with some Bears stuff at 10. We're going to move up the midway to 10:40. Got some Bears surprises that we expect in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get Lawrence Holmes's his trip report from Canton, his experiences.
Nice.
He was writing a lot of stuff. We also have 3 chances to win $1,000 via a lucky text. And also going to get into something in general, and I actually thought I thought Rick Morrissey did a nice job in the Sun-Times pointing out something significant while we're talking about Cubs and talking about Bears. The ability of the Bears to celebrate the past, they're great at it. They are great. A Bears ownership and management are great at acknowledging the past. But look, the Bears are the Cubs, man. They're getting into lovable loser status here. And you look around at everybody I mentioned last week. Everybody's got their Dick Butkus jerseys on. And everybody's walking around. They've sucked at football. Sucked. And it's still, it's like, yay, Hall of Fame. Yay, my Butkus jersey. I mean, just look around. Get good at football already. So all of this energy you're pouring in to celebrate.
What time is Staley the guest?
that's my dude. Yeah. But it just, you know what? There's definitely something there about the nostalgia that's getting kind of cubby, like old cubbiness about it.
The only difference, though, to that, and I feel some of that, Dan, is attendance. Like, that will fall off at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those cold games. And
they still have
shockingly large crowds even the last 3 years. But that will
I don't know. They had some crowds that were sparse.
Friends and relatives.
Yeah, last
AT&T.
Year.
Yeah. 2 years ago. Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey joins Mully and Hall every Wednesday morning at 8 throughout baseball season.
4 lefty starters. Is that bad? What do you make of it?
I'm more than willing to take my chances with these 4 lefties, even though it is a little bit unusual.
Jim Hickey talks Cubs with Mully and Hall Wednesdays at 8 a.m. only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is Mark Melusis with the CBS Sports Minute. The Astros have activated closer Roberto Osuna from his 75-game suspension under Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy. If you remember, on July 31st, they acquired him from the Toronto Blue Jays. Manager A.J. Hinch opened up a meeting with his players and Osuna by saying how lucky Osuna is to join the Astros, and Osuna apparently apologized to his new teammates for the distraction he caused and said how grateful he was to get another opportunity. Osuna can certainly help an Astros bullpen that struggled last year and has been the team's Achilles heel. He faces a September 5th court date in Toronto for the domestic violence charges. Whether you like it or not, teams are forgiving of players' behavior if that player can help their team win. And Osuna, at his best, can help solidify the back end of the bullpen for the Houston Astros and help them win another World Series. I'm Mark Melusis.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Donate online at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K.
Pickup is quick and easy. You'll get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1973, when Roberto Clemente becomes the first Latin-born player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. The mandatory 5-year waiting period was waived to honor the late Pirates outfielder, who died tragically in a plane crash that was carrying relief supplies to victims of the earthquake in Nicaragua. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text baseball to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
The roof, siding, and gutters on your commercial properties and home need to be inspected every few years. Mother Nature can cause serious damage. If your building is more than 15 years old, contact Select Roofing and Gutter to schedule your free inspection and evaluation. Be proactive. Contact Select Roofing now. Select Roofing and Gutter gets the job done right the first time. Contact us today for a free inspection and evaluation at srng.com. That's srng.com.
Select Roofing and Gutter. We're always on top.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. Have you had a foreclosure or bankruptcy and been turned down for a mortgage? Then you need to call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 for information about the numerous mortgage options for borrowers like you. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit perldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 4358 and MLS number 19186.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Something big just dropped at McDonald's. In fact, it's so big we think it's worthy of a beat drop. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's, featuring an all-time greatest hits lineup. The Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, and the Classic Chicken Sandwich. Choose any two favorites for just $5. There you have it. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's has officially dropped. At participating McDonald's, limited time offer, single item at regular price.
Your own outdoor retreat is waiting at the Home Depot. Get away from it all behind an easy-to-install fence, pre-stained and pre-treated. Or relax on the deck of your dreams, built with ground contact lumber, rich deck stains, and beautiful hardware. Even ready-to-install composite decking for years of backyard bliss. Your outdoor oasis is closer than you think, well within reach, and only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Be at Menards.
And now, Dr. Brian Cole, Chief Doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, with a sports medicine update.
Can weightlifting cause a hernia?
A hernia is a weakness in the abdominal wall. It can happen down in the inguinal region towards the groin. It can happen in the abdomen. There's just a general weakness there. So when there's increased abdominal pressure, such as doing squats, deadlifts, things like that, there's an increased chance of developing a hernia.
Don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly with Dr. Brian Cole and Steve Cashel, Saturdays at 8 a.m. right here on 670 The Score. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
John Kerry. Handicap the NL Central race.
A lot of what depends on might not have anything to do with the players that change teams. I mean, is Chris Bryant going to go back to being healthy? Chris Bryant is 100% at hitting bombs. Jose Quintana and Kyle Hendricks going to pitch well? You know, those seem to be the things that might decide the division more than anything. But it really feels like this division is going to come down to the incumbents more than anything. The Cubs and the Brewers lined up. It's pretty comparable teams before the deadline. I still think they're pretty comparable teams. And I think it ultimately gets decided by the players who were on the roster before July 31st.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport, the Bernstein and McKnight Show, middays 9 to 1. Sahadev Sharma talks Cubs in about 20 minutes. Kevin Fishbane live here on site at Bourbonnais at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, the midday midway, a little bit early at 10:40. That's to make room for a Bears surprise or two in the 11 o'clock hour. And Lawrence Holmes at noon will wrap up the Hall of Fame weekend that included the enshrinement of Brian Urlacher. Also, three chances to win $1,000 via a lucky text. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting at 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Also, download the radio.com app. The reimagined, redone, relaunched radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile device. So that's where you got to
download it.
You have to download that, because the other things aren't going to work. It is the radio.com app. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We also have the video feed that is at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. Hi, it's here. It's directed by Brian Gertz. We have an engineer. He is Dan Hibbets, and a bunch of producers today on site are EPJ Zawoski.
LeBron James.
At the Score Studios, Rick Camp.
Who goes there?
Your worst nightmare.
There'll be a lot of people.
I have given up.
Good, yeah.
I have.
You're in charge, though. It's your responsibility.
Very Cavallari. I have given up on that show.
You now don't care.
I do not care.
And some of us have been there. He is in the big chair today, I think, or he's in the back. I don't know. I can't see. He's the executioner, Ray Diaz.
That had a good piece of the zone. That didn't. Unless the zone was on him and he goes limp. Gomez trying out for the next Hollywood thriller. He gets hit, and down goes Gomez. But he'll be back. Something he's probably been thinking about for quite some time and decided to use it there. Look at how proud he is of himself. Yeah. That's great.
What was that?
I don't know. It looked like a soccer move.
Yes, Carlos Gomez gets hit in the side. It looked like it was...
The hippish, you know, hippish
just,
area.
Just above there. And then he fell like a tree.
But he took a step first. He gets plunked and then takes a cross step, I think, with his back foot, not quite across the plate, and just fell over and stayed there.
Also helping out today, Eli Hershkovich.
No recollection of that happening at all.
At all. This store sells some good liquor. And I drank a lot of it that night.
The viral video shows Robbie Stratton running through a convenience store with an alligator in his hands. He takes the animal in the beer fridge as well.
I don't even remember coming up here.
We asked Stratton where the alligator came from.
No clue. No clue. I literally came to the store and he was in the back of the truck. They told me what I did was stupid and I'll be facing some charges here soon and... Probably go to jail, probably not. We'll see.
He says he regrets his decision, and he's been in contact with the FWC.
That is peak Florida.
That's going to be used by a number of people as an excuse for things they did or didn't do over the weekend. That's going to be used. Urban Meyer could do something like that. You could see some elected officials do something. I don't sell some good booze, so I remember nothing, and I'm sorry. I'm probably going to go to jail, or I think that's my
or
favorite
not.
Part. I'm probably going to jail.
What's the
or
charge?
Probably not.
Did he steal the beer or did what's
reckless
the actual
endangerment
charge?
Of an alligator?
Oh,
bringing a warm-blooded reptile into a cold beer fridge.
Cold
I think
blood.
That's a cold-blooded reptile into a cold beer fridge. Either way, very dangerous.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how he happened upon the alligator or why he brought it into the store with him.
No clue.
Robbie Stratton running through a convenience store with an alligator in his hands. He takes the animal in the beer fridge as well.
I don't even remember coming up here.
Let alone having the alligator in the beer fridge.
No idea.
I just you imagine that there's some local police department is like, all right, we got to charge him with something. That is from CBS 47 in Jacksonville, by the way. This segment brought to you by Art Design Chicago. Celebrate the city's art and design history at events through Art Design Chicago this year, presented by the Terra Foundation for American Art. ArtDesignChicago.org. Maybe you should just go see it. Or right next to the practice field in Bourbon A. It's a sticky one. It's hot.
It's exactly like like the studios back home. The Hyundai Studios when we were there after Mullion Hall.
I can't feel my fingers.
Just walk right in, it's freezing, and you turn it up into a sweat lodge in there.
Our friend JoJo from Jewel Osco is here.
Tough day to be JoJo.
Doing whatever JoJo does.
Tough day to be JoJo. Like the it's always a good day to be JoJo, but it's tough today to be that good.
That's quite a scene of JoJo and the Orthodox Jews.
Yep. They're hanging out.
It's my favorite doo-wop group.
Them hanging out.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for JoJo and the Orthodox Jews. Yeah. Okay.
They're exchanging pleasantries now. There's necklaces being exchanged.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain jewel. The one in Highland Park, they'd be fine. The one on Howard. Is it Howard and you go up from go north on Thillens.
Yep.
You go from there. It's like Kedzie or somebody there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and you end up at that one. That's got a lot. That's all the kosher stuff in there. So that'd be my
JoJo's got a kosher section.
To bring this all home, if JoJo is recommending where they might want to shop in the Jewel Osco chain, I gave them two. As long as they, maybe I should ask JoJo about my haunted jewel.
Maybe he knows where applesauce is.
Is it a he?
JoJo is JoJo.
I don't think JoJo's a he.
No, can't be reducted into one or the other.
I think there's
a doctor of facts.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what JoJo is or the gender of JoJo.
Like a red, fuzzy, one-eyed comet-looking thing, right? Doesn't it kind of look like it's on the move?
A unicellular animal?
Wait, what?
Yeah, single cell of paramecium, probably.
I don't... Or a euglena, perhaps?
I don't know.
Sort
it
of in between animal and plant?
It's got teeth and an eye, so it can't be single cell.
A flagellum, perhaps? I'm not asking to see it, but it's possible that it's there. I'm still digesting the spirit and gusto and verve with which we have covered Brian Urlacher. Look, let the record show. I'm gonna sell you out here. But exactly what you said when we were driving down here today about the feeling of
never share a car ride with Dan. It all gets thrown onto the radio.
Of listening to him. You don't have kids, but you nailed the feeling.
I do not have kids.
It's that sense of watching, sitting through one of your kids. Assembly performances,
like a 9-year-old doing Shakespeare or something. Like, and you're there. This is
nice
what it's supposed
job.
To be.
Yes, and great job. They would give you
those
all
are the words I acknowledge and recognize as
and,
things.
And now we'll go out to eat.
Yes, everyone to Applebee's together.
I got wonderful parenting advice years ago from Barry Rosner about that when I mentioned I was going to a school play or an 8th grade graduation, and he looks at me very, very seriously, and he says, Bernsey, never, ever go to one of those things sober.
Oh, God.
I said, what do you mean? He goes, I will stop, and I will look around for as much bourbon as I can possibly find before I attend one.
I'm at a different level of life. I don't have kids yet, but I have attended many weddings where everyone just gives you flasks as your wedding gift, right? It's like, oh, thanks for being a groomsman or best man in my wedding. Here is a flask. And I always thought, I have no use for this. There's nothing I'm going to ever need a flask for, but apparently Barry tells you that there is a reason to use this later in life. That gift has some legs.
He knows. He's been there. He's got two grown daughters, and he's probably sat through everything on it. Look, I've been through the clarinet recitals, and where I really needed the damn hockey games. That's what I can't sit still and
walk calm the nerves.
Yeah, I'm walking to different places for good mojo. Not JoJo.
It was
always good.
Always good, yeah. JoJo. It was not difficult to watch the Brian
Urlacher
speech.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. And I don't mean that it was something that was less than it could have been, because I think he got out what he needed to get out. I was a little surprised by some of the things he chose to talk about, some of the things he didn't. Some of the people he chose to acknowledge and some that he didn't.
What interested you in that regard?
I thought it was real interesting the way he talked about his family, about his stepfather, about his mom, about his
How about
kids.
The closure with his biological father.
I thought that was pretty impressive as well. I can't I can't put myself in those shoes, but I can only imagine how difficult it must be to even think about acknowledging that man after what you've been through or what he hasn't been around for or whatever. That was really impressive to me. I was surprised that Lovie Smith and Ron Rivera's names didn't get mentioned. I know he said a couple of times that there are a lot of coaches that he doesn't have time to get to, and not every name is going to be mentioned. He talked about his kids and to his kids quite a bit, which I thought was really impressive. But I thought more than anything else, the day was a day of contrasts for me. You know, it's tough for me to watch the performative stuff and the grandizing stuff that Ray Lewis did. Juxtapose that with Brian Urlacher, the way he talked about others, the way he talked about teammates. And yeah, it's a moment about yourself, right? You are being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And far be it from me to tell Ray Lewis that he can't talk about himself on a day where he's literally got a bust carved out of bronze, right? But it felt different to me. You know, those two speeches, it felt different. Even Randy Moss's, or even, hell, Terrell Owens's, when he wasn't even in Canton, those felt different to me, and they felt like actual Hall of Fame speeches. The other one nearly didn't, and more than anything else, from that day, I'm going to remember, you know, Brian Urlacher's speech. I'm going to remember who he paid tribute to and what the game of football meant to him. Sure.
It was actually...
It's going to be really difficult for me to forget watching that whole thing happen, knowing that background.
Yeah, it was sweet in a way. Like you say...
Urlacher,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it was earnest.
It was earnest.
It is very difficult in this world to pull off earnest, I find. I think it's very difficult for people to be earnest and to take people at their word for that. And Brian was. And Brian pulled that off.
Who goes there?
Scoreboard update.
And thank you for not throwing it to me at all. From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. John Lester had a rough July, a 6.46 ERA last month, and his August didn't start much better. He allowed 5 runs over 5 innings yesterday as the Padres defeated the Cubs 10-6 to earn a series split at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I mean, not really up to anybody's expectations. Felt like I had really good stuff today. Once again, no swing and miss stuff. Figured it out. A little rut right now and keep grinding.
Another last-place team awaits the Cubs now. They're in Kansas City to open up a 3-game set with the Royals tonight. Game 1 of that series here on The Score. Cole Hamels set to make his second start as a member of the Cubs. Some good news for the Cubs yesterday, though. They didn't lose ground in the division. Colorado beat Milwaukee 5-4. But the bad news, Chris Bryant still hasn't swung a bat since being placed on the DL 2 weeks ago. No timetable for his return. To the White Sox, they've won 4 straight games somehow. 8-7, the final yesterday in Tampa Bay to complete the sweep of the Rays. Daniel Polka with a go-ahead home run in the 9th. Sox host the New York Yankees for 3 games starting tonight, Game of Thrones night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Football, the Bears are practicing currently in Bourbonnais. Their next preseason game Thursday versus the Bengals. There is still no update on the contract negotiations between the team and Roquan Smith. This scoreboard update brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score is tonight when the Cubs take on the Royals at 640. It's a 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
My most important legacy is sitting right here in front of me, Pamela Riley and Kennedy. Football did not define me, but it clearly has helped me be a better man. Its core values aren't simple football values. They are life values. In applying what I learned in football to the rest of my life, I've discovered we all win. For someone as competitive as I am, that victory means everything to me. Thank you all.
Yeah, I flinched a little bit when I heard core values, just because the number of times we played that bit of the Urban Meyer
right.
Ridiculousness where he talks about core values and
doesn't really define any of them or what you have to do with those core values, but did say the words core values a lot. No, I found Brian Urlacher's usage of core values a lot more palatable.
And we had 28 mentions of the word football?
28, yeah. I went through and I did the control F. 28 mentions of football in Brian's speech.
I will never quite get it.
Which
why, unlike other sports, no sports culture has as big a part of it as saying the name of the sport than football does.
It's not even... I mean, it is culture, yes, but it's also the lingo, like the actual verbiage of football, includes saying football a lot. Well,
but it's the, but that, I would argue, is because of the culture.
It's entirely possible.
It uses it as some sort of identity signifier.
It's a football play.
That's a good football play.
Get the football.
I remember years ago at the Super Bowl, I put together a supercut of Mike Shanahan in one press conference, the number of times he punctuated his commentary with, our football team's a good football team, and we have good football players who are approaching this football game. And I was thinking, like, God, he's saying this a lot. And you don't hear it. I mean, do people say, like, well, that's a good badminton play, and our badminton team just knows what they have to do out in the badminton court, and we're going to be the best badminton team we can badminton.
You hear it in baseball. Baseball guys will go, no, you hear this in baseball. Sorry, you hear, he's a baseball player. He's just a baseball
player. Good baseball
player.
Man.
He's a good baseball player. Like, you hear that, which, good. Those are the guys you should be signing and drafting to your baseball team, baseball players.
I love when some old executive or scout is just a good baseball man. You know, that means you've seen him a lot.
Yes.
In places.
Yes, it does. It's what got thrown around to David Bodie during camp. He was called a baseball player coming through spring training, and now he's actually could be legitimately a nice little player for you. But it's a baseball player. It's just a baseball player. He doesn't care where he plays. He doesn't care what day he plays on.
It's not the same as football, though.
No, it's not.
The need to say it in football, the desire to say it, makes people feel good for some reason.
Reminds me of a conversation I was overhearing and kind of a part of when I was covering the White Sox 2 years ago. We were in Milwaukee, right, for one of those, not a spring training game, but it's a you know, exhibition game with the Brewers and the White Sox before rosters are really set. And two rookies were talking, and I was kind of part of the conversation as they were going. And one observed to the other, "Do you ever notice that in football, everybody's coach? It's coach this and coach that, and everybody gets this, like, coach last name, like Coach Nagy or Coach Ryan or whatever it is. Like, it's coach this, coach that. It's yes, sir. It's no, sir." And the player was observing that in baseball, everybody's got a first name. I would never go up to Ricky and call him Coach
Skip.
Maybe Skip. And that's what he said. He said maybe Skip, but he's Rick. He's right. Ricky. Or, like, everybody has a first name, and you call people by their name. And he further went on to go, if you're a baseball player in an off-season training program, and you get told, oh, go do this, like, this is your routine, you ask why. Like, everybody wants to know why and what we're doing and how
this
we're doing
it. Two players
it.
Talking about
two
it?
Two players
just having
talking,
a conversation.
Yeah, and both who had played football at a relatively high, not in college, mind you, but at a high level in the respective high schools. And both of them were just kind of talking about the difference in the culture there.
I can explain
it in one
word. That
conversation has stuck with me for a while.
I think I can explain it in one word, the same thing. Why you refer to coach as coach and why you act unquestionably, it is that football, its structure and culture mirror the military.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think there's also an element of you can't do...
You're not as much of a person with agency?
Kind of. Yeah. You need other people to do your job. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You have to,
sport,
if you're Kyle Long, you have to have, you know, Cody Whitehair doing his job so you can do your job best. That's not necessarily true for Jose Abreu. He can just go out there and mash, you know, regardless of how Adam Engel's playing in center field or however.
A text from the 708. Yeah, good, sincere speech by Brian Urlacher, but he clearly had a writer. That's fine. Of course he did.
I would hope all those guys had writers.
Sure, you sit down and you spend time in a room with a writer, a lot of hours, and you take a lot of notes and you put it all together.
Yeah,
and
what do you want to say?
He's not a professional communicator. Far from it. So you know, it's a low bar for that kind of delivery. But it's clear he was reminding himself to slow down, because otherwise it's just rat-a-tat machine gun bursts of words that you try to sort out after the fact. We are going to talk Cubs with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. Cubs are a weird team right now. They really are. They're not a big margin for error team. John Lester is reverting to those peripherals that were setting off alarm bells.
6.4 ERA in his start since July 1.
The hard contact rate is up. He's not missing bats. It's a problem, yet the Cubs just sort of keep rolling on with this the winning inertia that Joe Maddon seems to have established. So Cubs talk next, straight ahead on The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
We're talking to Albert Almora.
Your personal interactions you've had with Yu Darvish.
Great. Yu's hilarious. Get along great. I'm telling you, he's a teammate, man. And I'm super excited to get him going again and help him us win ballgames.
Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
At
At Walgreens, we believe everyone counts, and that includes your everyday choices. Today, when you buy participating products at Walgreens, you support our partnership with the Me to We Foundation in their mission to deliver education, clean water, healthy food, and healthcare to children in need around the world. Stop by your local Walgreens to shop products that support Me to We, like Hershey's. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with cards, select Hershey's party size bags are $9.99 each, valid July 29th through September 3rd.
Burlington Million, one of the great parties of the summer, is August 11th. See world-class horses and jockeys and the drama of a championship horse race. Plus, there's a live concert featuring country recording artist Eric Paisley, the national anthem with Jim Cornelison, and other music entertainment, great food and drink specials, a fashion contest, and more. It's a day that local celebrities don't miss. You shouldn't either. The Arlington Million, Saturday, August 11th. Visit arlingtonpark.com to plan your day.
The live show you just have to experience.
And a little bit of chicken.
Zach Brown Band. Cold beer on Down the Rabbit Hole. Live. Saturday, August 11th. And Sunday, August 12th. Alpine Valley Music Theater. The multi-platinum, Grammy award-winning Zach Brown Band. Tickets are on sale now. Get access to preferred tickets with your city card. Tickets available at livenation.com. Zach Brown Band. In concert.
Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today, 1-877 Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Hey, Cubs fans, your son or daughter could be the kid of the game at the Cubs home game on August 26th. Enter to win at Chicago's Pastime page on Facebook. Prize package includes the opportunity to say play ball over the PA before the game, kid of the game t-shirt, and four tickets to the game. The contest is sponsored by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Foods. Buy Chicago Cubs Edition waffles and appetizers at Angelo Caputo's, Hy-Vee, Pete's Market, and Tony's Fine Foods. Enter the contest on Chicago's Pastime Facebook page to win an experience your child will never forget.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Here I go. Bundling home and auto with Progressive can save you money on your car insurance. No kidding. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I added that last part in. You can edit that out, right? Or you can keep it in if you like. I mean, my opinion is I think it's good. I think other people my age would like it. Very relatable.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Rizzo takes strike three call and the ball game is over. Rizzo is barking at Angel Hernandez. Anthony did not like that call. Anthony still talking with Angel Hernandez as Angel walks up the first base line. Rizzo giving him a piece of his mind.
Anthony's right. This pitch is 6-8 inches off the plate away, and Angel Hernandez just quit on the game. That pitch isn't even close.
Strong stuff from Ron Coomer.
Couldn't get out there.
Cool. Quit on the game. I like it. Sahadev Sharma covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He is their beat writer. He is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma.
and he joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. Even though we are astride the practice fields in Bourbonnais, we are talking about the Cubs, who are interesting in ways we probably didn't think they would be. And when you really look at the whole picture, it's amazing that they're sustaining whatever quality they still have. So, Hadam, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Yeah, what I wrote recently was, right now they're not playing their best baseball. They don't look like a very great team, but they're kind of keeping afloat. They're staying ahead of the NL Central. They're staying atop the NL. They kind of just need to stay afloat for a while and hope that they can keep this pace going at the very least while they wait for the reinforcements, the impact players to get healthy.
So some people like to point to Pythagorean win-loss as like as evidence of how a manager has done maybe over the longer course. I think it's kind of faded out of style, but for what it's worth, the Pythagorean win-loss, runs scored, runs allowed, says the Cubs should be a game better than they are. It kind of evens out, I think. What's stood out to you, though, about the way Joe's managed this team, about how he's tactically applied who he's had to situations that they've needed wins in? Because he hasn't had a full complement of guys. He hasn't had a full rotation that he thought would be the best he's ever had.
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty solid job. I know he gets criticized a lot for bullpen usage, and sometimes I'll get on him for that, too. But there are so many things we don't know, even guys that are there every day talking to him, that we still don't know every single detail about whose shoulder is barking or who's, who got up one too many times the game before, even though they didn't get in the game, stuff like that. But he's done a strong job for multiple reasons. It's not his fault that the starters are not going as deep as they should. This is a starting rotation that was being billed as one of the best in baseball. It isn't even close to that. It's arguably, bottom 10th of the, bottom third of the league as far as starters go. So he's been able to get a lot out of that Iowa shuttle. He's been using them. I think there's a reason why you saw Randy Rosario in that game yesterday and not a more high leverage pitcher. It's because Joe doesn't want to waste his best pitchers when they're down even a run. He always talks about how he doesn't want, the worst thing he can do is use his best relievers in a loss. Maybe yesterday wasn't the best example of that. Probably want to try and keep that a one-run game when the wind's blowing out like that and you have a chance to get a run or two. But I think he's done a good job with the lineup. I think he's done a good job with the bullpen. I've been impressed with him this year. I know it's so easy to be super critical of a manager when you watch them every single day, because it's not a job that lends itself to perfection. So I'm on the side that, for many years I could be critical of him, but I'm not sure if this is one of those years where I've jumped down Madden's throat.
Despite the loss, it was dressed like Pedro Strop Day for their road trip to Kansas City, apparently. And I think that it is an easy case to make. If we were to look at this era of Cubs baseball, starting when they got good, that Pedro Strop is easily the most taken for granted important Cub.
Oh yeah, around the time of his the anniversary of the trade, the Jake Arrieta trade, as everyone calls it, Strop was the second piece of that coming over to Chicago. I wrote pretty in depth about him, about what he means to the team, how overlooked he's been, sub-3 ERA, 3 ERA, working for the fifth straight year, I believe, with the Cubs. That's remarkable. Everyone remembers the big blow-ups, and that's the problem with the reliever that's not a closer, right? You remember those moments, especially there's been a few against the Cardinals for him. So people remember that. Obviously, there are some people who are so offended by that hat being a little askew, so that I know how awful that is for some people to accept. It's a very dangerous way to wear your hat. He's as consistent as they come. Relievers year in and year out, go look at them. Go look at the best relievers 5 years ago. They're completely different names. They're not guys you'd consider. They're either out of the league because they were ineffective or they're old, whatever it is. Relievers are the most volatile group in baseball. To do this 5 years in a row is remarkably impressive, and he deserves props for it. There's no doubt about it.
So, Hadam, how have your conversations been with Cole Hamels so far? I thought the start he had his first as a Cub was an interesting one, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. I think, perhaps if that score doesn't go so lopsided early, the Pirates are swinging a little bit faster or a little bit earlier in counts, and maybe he lasts the 6th, but I wonder where your expectations are for him both today and in his next few starts. How the Cubs tweak a veteran like Cole Hamels?
Yeah, I'd like to actually get more time to talk with him just one-on-one instead of big group sessions, because I do have some questions about his pitch mix and how he uses everything. And I noticed that his changeup is not the traditional, you know, arm-side run changeup that for him that would dive into a lefty's feet or something like that. It's all got a little cutting action to it, like Hendricks has with his cutting changeup. So I wanted to ask him about that, how he throws that. The pitch mix was clear that he wasn't using the cutter and the slider as much. The changeup was as effective as it's been for him. You know, that was once a devastating pitch for him, and it's kind of lost its effectiveness, but it last started, it was great. I think his addition, if he can pitch close to that on every 5 days, that's huge. You saw I've been harping on this for a while, but the Cubs starters don't miss bats. Mike Montgomery, I think, had one swing and miss in his last start. John Lester, I know he doesn't, I believe he can succeed in other ways. It's more about limiting the walks for him than swing and miss, but he doesn't miss bats either. I think part of the reason why I'm really optimistic about Kyle Hendricks going forward is because he's missing bats again. And it's not a key for him, but it tells me that his command is there. So all these guys missing bats, I think guys starting to miss bats is a big deal for this rotation. It's one of the worst in baseball as far as swinging strike rate goes. He brings that element to the team. He brings that veteran leadership. They have that, but he brings another guy to the rotation that has that experience. I agree with Epstein when he says he believes he can be rejuvenated here in the playoff race. I think he's going to step up. I think he's going to perform really well, and they needed it. They just needed innings. I talked to a lot of scouts around the league, like, yeah, Cole Hamels is not the guy that, you know, his name brings. He's not going to bring that type of impact, but he is going to bring something to the table that this team desperately needs, and it's innings, it's experience, it's a guy that's not going to go out there and burn out after three innings. It's not going to happen very often with him.
We've been pounding the table to sound alarms on John Lester for a while now, looking at the peripheral numbers, looking at expected fielder independent pitching, seeing that his strikeouts per nine is below seven. And when you start looking at the quality of contact off of him, his soft contact percentage is down 3% from his career. Medium contact percentage down 3.5%. Hard contact percentage, his career rate is 26.8.
Yeah.
It is 33.7%. One out of every three hitters is hitting the ball hard off of him. That is not a recipe for success.
No, I mean, I've been talking about this a lot, too. Part of it for me is I think he can be average without numbers that look like he's going to be average, if you understand what I mean there, because he's a veteran, because he knows how to get by. Days like yesterday are the absolute worst for him to try and get around with less than stuff, because you have that pop-up that goes for a home run. Okay, that's not on him, right? He did his job there. But it's just another opportunity for someone to make hard contact with him. Every soft contact, every single time he executes, it has to be an out. It can't be the pop-up that Schwarber missed that, you know, he almost made a great play on. That's an extra batter that can make hard contact off Lester, because right now he cannot have any mistakes behind him. Every single time he executes, it has to be an out. More guys coming up leads to, you know, shots deep. Who is it? Franchi Cordero hit one into center field. It was Eric Hosmer hit that rocket. Those are extra batters that he shouldn't be facing because he executed, and he just cannot survive like that. It's not going to work for him. And yesterday is a perfect example of, you know, that's the day when you really don't want Lester on the mound when the wind is howling out like that. I still think he has a lot in him, enough in the tank to give them quality starts and to be a strong presence in the playoffs. But he's walking a very fine line, and it can go either way any day out there. So it was one of those outings that you kind of could have felt coming. But yeah, you're right. All those numbers suggest that he's headed for a rough second half. I think there's a way for him to kind of adjust and be a better pitcher than what the peripheral suggests. But that first half is going to be real hard to replicate in these final 2 months.
Talking Cubs with Sahat of Sharma here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Sahat, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about Anthony Rizzo going after Angel Hernandez after that game. Baseball players have gone after umpires for bad calls since the game started, and Angel Hernandez has made his fair share of bad calls. That said, do you, in kicking it around with people and just having conversations in and around the league like you do, have you heard anything that'll change, that might change about how you guys, how reporters get to interface with umpires, how they're, whether there's going to be any kind of, yeah, I get from that laugh, probably not, any kind of accountability or change in the way this works? Because if you're going to put that many replays, and umpires were worried about this, referees in football worried about this, you put replays on the screen, and all it does is put them in a bad position. I get that. But the importance of having the call right is more important than their egos. That said, they just fluff up their egos over and over again, and there's no accountability. Should that change? Will it?
Okay, so I'll say this. I've been doing this for 6-7 years, working in clubhouses and covering the team. This is the first year I've gone to try and talk to an umpire. 4 times, I want to say, already this year, we've had incidents enough where we're like, all right, let's go wait for the umpires. Not once did they come out and talk to us. Not once. We waited for a while, multiple times, to talk to them. Oh, they're taking a shower. Oh, they just stepped out. They'll come out. Nope, they didn't come out. They never talked to us. They have nothing to say. They never want to. They rarely want to talk to the media when there's a mistake that's been made or something controversial. So, I don't think there's going to be anything done about that. I don't know. I'm sure that there's a process in place. They do get reprimanded in certain ways. We don't hear about it. It's not a public thing. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be something where they get reprimanded publicly, where the media gets a ton of access to them. It's a process just to even talk to them after a game, after there's a big incident. I guess I could stand there for half an hour waiting for them, but most other people couldn't because they have deadlines and things that they need to wrap up right away. So it was definitely odd to experience that multiple times waiting for umpires and never even seeing their faces. So I don't know how that changes or if there's a better situation that's coming up.
Well, when the robots take over, they will be required to speak with you. They will file out and they will beep at you like R2-D2, and then everything will be fine. Sahadev, thank you.
Of course. Thanks for the time, guys. Take care.
Always great stuff from Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. Speaking of which, that very same media outlet also employs Kevin Fishbane.
And the rest of the English writing world.
And everyone else. But while some people are in our tent here at Bourbon A, dodging this little pop-up rainstorm that just blew through, Kevin Fishbane is here. He is going to join us. He is going to give us the latest on the Bears. They are back to practicing. They have now gotten through the Hall of Fame experience, and it was an up-and-down weekend, I guess, for Mitchell Trubisky on the practice
field. Yeah, they had their bad weekend, and Matt Nagy yelled at everybody about a bad day at practice, and they bounced back characteristically, because that's how you have your camps.
Yeah.
So you work them out. You schedule that bad one right the day before a good one.
You'll learn more from a bad day than a good day. So in-depth Bears talk is straight ahead on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
It's nice to go to bed when you know you've got wonderful sheets. It's not necessarily easy to get out of bed when you have great sheets, but that's kind of the point. I think you spend a lot of time talking about your mattress and your pillow and everything else, but you know what? The part of that whole thing that's in contact with you are the sheets, and that's why they really matter. And Brooklinen sheets are the best you're going to find, and it's the process where Brooklinen has really changed the game, because buying sheets used to be, frankly, a pain in the butt, because you had to know all about different thread counts and know all these buzzwords and all this terminology, and then you pay through the nose because of all the upcharges. Well, Brooklinen has been doing fabulously because they took all this stuff out. With the whole idea, the husband and wife team, that said, look, why do we have this in the luxury bedding sector? And they said, all right, we're going to do it differently. And that's why Brooklinen is doing wonderfully, because they're just bringing you luxury sheets at a fraction of what used to be the price. So right now, just because you're listening, you know what you can do? You can enjoy the same quality night's sleep that I enjoy. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets that I've ever slept on. And Brooklinen.com is giving you this exclusive offer. It's $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Dan at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen's so sure you're going to love these sheets, they're offering a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is using the promo code Dan at Brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N.com, promo code Dan. It's Brooklinen, and these are the...
Switch to Sprint Unlimited Basic, featuring TV from Hulu and 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot. Plus, for a limited time, get 5 lines for only $120 per month. Hurry to a Sprint store or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Offer ends 8/16/18 after 1/31/2020. Pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines with auto pay. One Hulu limited commercial plan for eligible Sprint account. MHS reduced to 3G speeds after 500 megabytes per month. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Requires new lines. Subject to credit and 3-day activation fee. Video streams up to 480p. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
Ah, there's nothing better than an early tea time. Seriously, the way I sleep and my energy is off, and it's really hard to concentrate. I'm thinking about taking up afternoon golf.
Oh, yeah, I was there, too. Turned out I had low testosterone, known as low T.
How'd you find that out?
Oh, I went to New Mail Medical. They did a couple of tests. It didn't cost much. And they came back with a completely custom recommendation to solve the hormone issues I had. That all men have. It's just a fact of life as we get older.
Seriously, huh? New Mail Medical?
Yep, New Mail Medical. They're in Skokie.
I don't mean to pry, but what did they all fix?
Oh, hold on. Bunch of stuff. I'm not tired anymore. I concentrate way better. I'm finally dropping some weight. I feel like I'm getting stronger, so muscle's starting to come back. Basically, I feel about 15 years younger after just a couple of visits. Oh, and my wife isn't complaining about the positive effects either.
Seriously? They fixed more than ED?
Yeah. You should call New Mail at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. Or online at newmailmedical.com. That's NUMALE medical.com.